Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 15th of April. You're listening to Viewpoint Talk Radio, its current affairs program, with a panel of invited guests where we discuss the issues of the day with you for the next 2 hours. We've got a bit of a probably special one today because we have been going over familiar ground, what with what's been happening in the world in general. So I thought we'd do a little something a little different because the property has been front and center of a lot of people's portfolios, and the news has been full, especially in Spain, of issues relating to tourism, to property, to oversupply, to infrastructure and demand. So we're doing a property special, so we're going to try and keep it on the straight and narrow, dear listeners. But if you've got a question you want to put, or you've got a viewpoint on property, where are we going? Is there too much property around? Is there oversupply? Is it a good thing? Are people putting investments in? Then these are the numbers to get your viewpoint across.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
But first of all, we'll have a look at the morning papers. Telegraph leads with a warning that bin workers across the country, the UK, could be poised to go on strike. The paper says the Unite Union is considering staging walkouts in areas where there are pay disputes, similar to the row in Birmingham, which has led to rubbish piling up on the streets. The headline on the front of the Daily Mail is "Bin Strike Grinds On As Labour Humiliated." It says Unite's members in Birmingham rejected an improved pay offer despite a plea by the Deputy Prime Minister Angela Rayner. The Guardian reports that senior Labour figures are urging the government to review Chinese investment in Britain in the wake of the British steel episode. A Conservative MP is quoted by the Daily Express saying China is a threat to everything we do, while the Times says that the Energy Secretary, Ed Miliband, publicly encouraged China's involvement in key parts of UK infrastructure less than a month ago. Meanwhile, the I paper says Downing Street has been trying to calm tensions with China diplomatically. The Financial Times reports that some European Commission staff who are heading to the United States for meetings next week are being given burner phones and basic laptops. The paper says such counter-espionage methods are usually reserved for trips to China and illustrates the worsening in relations with the US since President Trump returned to power. Katy Perry is back in the papers for a second day after her brief trip to space. The Sun's headline, "I kissed the ground and I liked it," is neatly echoed in the Daily Star's "I went to space and I liked it," as they cover the singer's trip and a grateful return to Earth alongside the all-female crew. Finally, Metro shows Perry holding a daisy she carried aboard. Quite what Daisy had to say about it. Anyway, the front. So those front pages from the top today. The Metro leads with first all-female crews, 10 mins in space. Look at the moon. Oh, my God, we're in space. Well spotted. Meanwhile, the Sun, official voters poll verdict, Britain is broken. Fury at government in Red Bull seats. Financial Times, giant leap, female crew takes to space. But also bond market freezes out higher risk borrowers since Trump's tariffs blitz. The front page of the Daily Mail, bin strike grinds on as Labour humiliated. The Daily Telegraph, unions threaten to spread bin strikes. Meanwhile, the I paper, China threatens British jobs over steel sabotage row with Labour. The Guardian, the all-female crew again, but also urgent review of China's role in UK vital, Labour figures tell PM. The Times, Miliband signed up to close ties with China on energy. The Mirror, charged, you bet. This is the former Conservative MP Craig Williams being 115 people charged with betting offences. The Express, they helped us retain our humanity. This is 80 years after the British Army liberated Bergen-Belsen. Suzanne Pollack, 94, a survivor, pays tributes to the soldiers who saved her from Nazi evil. And finally, the Daily Star, because we like to keep a bit of a balance, to put it mildly. The Daily Star says today, Katy Perry, What a Wonderful World. I Went to Space and I Liked It. And those, for better or worse, are your headlines on this Tuesday, the 15th of April.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And I just want to take this time, by the way, 10 minutes past 10, to thank St. James Global Private Clients. They're pleased to announce their expansion into Spain, specialists in protecting and preserving global wealth with over 40 years' experience helping clients enjoy retirement and lifestyle. For expert financial advice for Spanish tax residents and to maximize your retirement income, contact St. James Global Private Clients at info@stjamesglobal.com. St. James Global, protecting your assets and growing your wealth. Right then. You all know the numbers to get involved. We're doing a property special. I'm delighted to say that we've got, I know there's an all-female crew going to space yesterday, but here on Earth, ladies, I'm sorry, but we've got an all-male crew. To my left, which is going to make him laugh, of course, Andres Gallardo.
Unusually to your left.
Usually to my left. Andres, today representing, of course, the property sector with Accor Estates, of course.
That's correct, yes.
Because you do have another job apart from coming on and ruffling my feathers, don't you?
Yeah, I do have another job. A job that I've had since 1992. So well versed in the world of property in three different countries, that being the UK, Italy, and Spain.
Marvellous. Okay. To my far right, it's Campbell. Campbell, good to have you with us this morning. Campbell Fergus from Survey Spain. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine, Giles. Thank you very much. Yes, good morning, everyone.
Good to have you with us. And making a first appearance here on the show, and I believe I think pretty much a first appearance, I think, possibly in Spain, a very special guest. We have Billy Nash. Now, Billy Nash, I was going to explain a little bit about Billy, having come over from Florida, filming his new series called Passport Properties with Billy Nash. I was going to explain it, but nobody can do it better than the man himself. Billy, good morning and welcome to TRE.
Good morning. How are you, Giles?
I'm very well, thank you.
So my mother always said, since I was a little boy, I had a face for radio. So she was right.
You're amongst people who know here. You see. So for those who don't know, because obviously you're not just some random fellow I found in the car park and said, which I sometimes it seems like works like that with your point. But you're a bit of background, because you're saying before you're on Wall Street, you're based in Florida. Just give me the 101 just quickly, Billy.
Sure. So I spent 22 years on Wall Street as a financial advisor in private banking. And then about 10 years ago, I entered the property market in Florida. And I've been ranked top 1% in the United States for property sales. And that's what my main focus has been for the last 10 years. And I've sold over $1 billion in real estate over the last 10 years.
So what brings you to this particular part of, to Spain and to where we are at the moment, my bay in particular?
I have no idea. Somebody put it over my head and I ended up in this friggin' studio. I have no idea. No, I'm only kidding. Well, actually, we are here for the next 3 months in 8 different countries filming a new television show called Passport Properties, that's in production. And one of the countries that I am filming in is here in Spain for the next 9 days. Here in beautiful Marbella, and then we're also going to take a little trip up to Ronda as well.
Other parts of Spain are available, just so before you all start calling in from across the bank. Yes, Campbell, you're going to say the same thing, weren't you?
No, I'm just thinking Ronda, the road to Ronda suffered a major collapse, so you'll have a nice
scenic route. You have a scenic route.
So that's been factored into our trip because they've added another hour for us to get there. So, yes, I heard about the rock slide, the landslide a couple of months ago. So we are prepared for the extra hour, which will cost me an extra couple bucks.
But you'll get used to the beauty. You'll get to see the beautiful country of the Guadalajara thing.
Well, that's right. Just now, you can't be going up in a better time because of flowers and everything. It's beautiful. You will really enjoy it.
I'm excited.
Right then. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. To the WhatsApps we go. We don't forget, you can also drop me. Please feel free to phone on this one. Good morning to good morning, Cookie. Good morning, Jonathan, Andres, and Campbell, and Billy Nash. You're getting a greeting there. Too many agents on the coast, all after the same client, it says here. Approximately 5,000 registered agents, and those that are not, Regis other business centres are available and work from home or out of their car. Marbella-based panel, do you think it's a problem with too many agents down here at the moment? Would you say, Andres?
I think you'll probably find there's more agents in the United States. The problem we have in Spain is that it's an industry that's unregulated, and on the basis of that, anyone can act as a realtor, and that's why when a lot of people come, I'd see this on a regular basis. People come to Spain with the idea of perhaps semi-retiring and having a sort of quiet life and everything else. They come here and after 6 months they're bored to death, and they want to do something. And the easiest way is to say, "Oh, I'll sell houses."
How hard can it be?
Hard can it be? Just drive around, open a door, and then you can earn some money that way. That's not the reality, but of the job itself. But it's something that I see quite often happening. People just doing it because they've got nothing else to do. And of course, that has an effect. And when you come to professional people who have dedicated their lives to real estate, being invaded by an army of people who are not real professionals, but just playing at it, and that could be a problem. But as I said, as I know, in the United States, every other person is a realtor, and Billy can sort of confirm that, I'm sure.
Rami, yeah.
So we have there's no shortage of real estate agents in America. But here's a stat, which is a fact. In last year, 74% of realtors in America didn't sell a house. So that gives you kind of an idea. 74% of realtors in America last year did not sell one property.
Well, you probably find that here in Spain, because I see this on a daily basis, you end up working with a handful of agents who are the ones who are really working, and then dotted around are all these people that Cookie referred to in her WhatsApp. Yeah. But the end result is that the people who are really dedicated, who are really professional, who spend the money and time and investing in their companies and their job are at the end of the day the ones that really, really work.
And that's true, because in America, for my business and for other top agents, it's a relationship-driven business. And the order takers, when there's a bull market, do business. But when the market gets challenging, that's when, I would say the cream rises to the top. Because at the end of the day, it is always about servicing clients, relationships.
Yeah, I mean, Gamble, I mean, you've been Survey Spain's been on the coast. I mean, when I had hair, I had 80s hair. I had hair back in the day.
Chelsea, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of hair's gone.
There's a lot of hair's gone.
Fallen off, yeah.
But when you came over here to set up?
Well, it's... When I came down here, I'd worked in Madrid for about 2.5 years, and then I came down here, and I thought, well, how do I know how the market works here and how everything works? So I joined an estate agency, it was a struggle to learn all the things, but I was used to asking questions and being acting the daft laddie, just not knowing anything about it and picking up the information. And people were very generous at that time to help me. So that after about 1.5 years, you're mentioning about not selling a property in the agency I worked with. And I could see with various others, there were agents there that almost literally didn't have any soles to their shoes. And they were going around and they were trying to sell properties. And they were meeting their clients. They couldn't go to the airport on the toll road because they couldn't afford the toll. They had to go on the coast road, etc., etc. And it's they went around to the clients, and the client said, well, let's go for a meal. And then the client expected the agent to pay pay for the meal and things like that. So I decided, no, I'm instead of being the guy that will make a big amount of money, although I did one deal, one big deal, which did set me up quite nicely, thank you. That was in Puerto Banús, commercial property. And I started off Survey Spain because I thought, well, it's a cash flow business.
Yeah.
And that makes you sleep a whole lot easier with a cash flow business than you do in a business that is one big break, and then you don't have another one for yonks.
But going back to that market at that point, you know, it was very much a sort of, it was an envelope thing in who's got the keys to this property, and people weren't surveying houses. It was like, oh, who's got the not a simple, who knows? I mean, it's got a ruin that you can build on it, and it was very much a more, should we say, a more organic or a more relaxed, almost horizontal way of doing business in those days?
I came here, it's 2001 when I came here.
Okay.
So I'm not steeped in it as much as yourself, Charles.
All right, okay. Well,
But yes, from what I hear, it was that way. 2001, when I bought my first apartment, 2003, the guy there said to me, right, make sure it's somewhere you like to live. Don't just buy it as an investment. Make sure it's a like to live, because the market cannot keep up these prices. They are much too high. That was 2003. And it went on up and up and up until the crash in 2007, 2008. Spain always seems to be a little behind in its crashes. It carries on somehow, whether it's because they've got so many markets that are coming from all over the world, but especially within Europe, Northern Europe, the markets, the people come down. So that if one of those markets is a bit slow, another one will pick up the burden.
Because one of the things we were seeing a couple of years ago was people trying to find the new Spain, and they were saying, okay, we can go to this part of the world, this former Eastern European, or still an Eastern European, but this former country. But the market wasn't as established or mature there. And when things, you know, and the, shall we say that the rules and regulations were a little more fluid, a little more sort of floating than they have here. And you don't have that maturity. So therefore, Spain has always been a mature investment in a way that other countries haven't. Billy, what's your opinion of Spain? Why do you think people continue to come to Spain? I mean, you've come back from Marrakesh, and that's a beautiful historical thing, but Spain has always had a, you know, I mean, Hemingway, you're going to Ronda, for goodness sake. I mean, that's hardwired into the DNA of the American psyche, isn't it, that whole thing about it?
Well, what's interesting is we're actually going to be filming at the Hemingway House in Ronda, so I'm really excited about that for the new television show. So I love the people in Spain. I love the culture, and for an international buyer or an American buyer, you know, Spain is on their radar. You know, the climate's beautiful. It's a friendly environment. It's safe. And, you know, especially in southern Spain, you know, here in Marbella, you know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful here. The architecture is beautiful. The history is incredible. When you look at from a value standpoint, yes, prices are where they are. But I think that's happened all over the world. You know, from an appreciation standpoint, you know, I look at different countries around the world, specifically Spain, as a place to invest your money. And over the next 10 years, you'll get very good appreciation, in my opinion, you know. So I love Spain.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's bricks and mortar. So it's like they used to say, buy land, because they're not making any more of it. I mean, it is rather than a bond or a gilt or something like that, this is something that you can physically get your hands on. And at a time of market uncertainty, if you aren't in gold, then this is something that's going to be useful. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. To the WhatsApps we go. Good morning to Mark, listening in Woking, who said, and yes, any mum between the school runs is a real estate these days. They've no idea how it was for us guys, struggling to get 2% in Woking in the 80s. Other pizza locations are available, thank you. Morning, it's unregulated in the UK as well, the business. You don't need to be licensed or hold qualifications. Thank you. Not... building. Okay, thank you. And what else is coming in on that one? 952-78-4000 is the phone number. There's a piece in the, and I'm going to have to say, but Billy, brace yourself. We've met each other. We've been friends. But we're going to have to drop the T bomb. Okay, we're going to have to use that word that we knew we were going to get to, because the recent tariffs by President Trump have had an interesting experience, and I just want to pick up on this something that. And get your opinion on this, that this is something that Mark Stuckland wrote in, and he does the Spanish Property Insight. He's a former writer for the Times Property. And he said that Trump, the tariffs had made Spanish property a much more attractive proposition because of the... Oh, I was going to say something, but we go straight to the lines. Just let me go. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles. It's Jess now. How are you? Are you all right?
I'm very well, Jason. And yourself?
Yeah, amazing. Absolutely amazing. I've just to do with land and things like that, I just want... I've got a fairly anomalous situation. I've bought 12,000 square metres of land, rural land in the Campo, and it's kind of in a protected area. So if I wanted to build something on it, I doubt I could. But the interesting question is this. To my knowledge, I'm the very last dry stone wall operating within at least four counties around me of any nationality. And I know this is true because I've worked in Catalonia when they've rang me up, councils, etc., Valencia. And I want to know, is there a loophole in the law in Spain? Because with a dry stone wall, it's authentic, ecological building, no foundation, no cement mortar, to build a dry stone wall structure on some land. Maybe it's a goat shed, chicken shed evolving into a small dwelling place. Is there a difference in law or in land building permissions for something dry stone compared to a structure built out of cement mortar and foundation? I just wondered if anybody had ever come across that in their dealings with property.
That makes me think. Yes, you can. Yeah, build buildings can be made without cement mortar, without anything. Echo Pichu or whatever the place is called in Peru survives quite well without that. But we're not building here, and you don't build that overnight. So that you. There's different types of mortar. There's different types of things. A lime mortar is probably the best mortar because it lets things breathe. A lime on the walls and everything like that, cladding on the walls. Yeah. So I think somewhere like that, I wouldn't, as a valuer and as a home inspector, building surveyor, I certainly wouldn't put a property down just because it was built like that. But there are better ways of building. Let's put it that way. Nowadays, yeah, much better ways of building. The insulation and everything like that would be terrible. As an environment internally, it's not going to be good at all. So, yeah. I wouldn't go back to that way of building. Let's put it like that.
Yeah. Jason, yeah.
Can I come back on that? I disagree because I've been building dry stone walls for 42 years. And the thing with a dry stone wall, if it's built in a structural form, probably 70 centimetres thick, it's what you call a black ball body radiator. In summer, the sun can't penetrate, keeps an ambient temperature of 22 degrees inside. Water does not come through if it's built properly with a roof on it. And also, its flexible strength, which is superior to modern building techniques in an earthquake zone. So what you've got is a flexible, superior building technique, prehistoric, compared to the modern building techniques that we're all convinced are better, but not necessarily so. The simplicity of a dry stone wall is its beauty. And
a dry stone wall is fine for keeping sheep and things like that out and for looking pretty. For building an apartment block of five stories, I certainly wouldn't be too happy building it with a dry stone wall.
I'm not talking about five stories. I'm on about a little eight by 2 metre single little cottage thing. You know, that's what, you know, context. But on a low level, it works. And they used to build structures, dry stone, and they lasted hundreds and hundreds of years.
It depends upon what you're wanting it for. And if it's the only material you've got, yes, you can do it. It's a great skill, and I'm sure you have that great skill to build a proper dry stone wall.
Listeners, we've heard the building in the background.
That's it. So I think that's good. But to get hooked on dry stone walls today, I don't think is maybe the right answer.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you for your call in. Okay. Lovely to hear from you as well. All right, take care, my friend. 952-784-4000 is the phone line. You see, Billy, we could be doing dry stone wall condominiums in Florida. I can see it now. Environment. The thing is, I mean, you mentioned about, you know, you're liking the atmosphere here, the climate. This particular Andalusia itself, and especially the Costas, have been described as the California of Europe. I'd say it's more like the Florida of Europe. You're based in Florida. You must see the climate, perhaps the traffic jams, maybe the driving skills. But you know, honestly, that general, you know, the golf clubs, the gated communities, Campbell's laughing, you know, that whole great restaurants by the sea. I mean, that surely is Florida straight California lifestyle, isn't it?
It's a very similar lifestyle here in Marbella than it is in the Palm Beaches, where I'm from,
yeah,
which is about an hour north of Miami. So we have incredible gated communities like the Bears Club, where Michael Jordan lives. We have a tremendous amount of PGA Tour players. I mean, my neighbor is Justin Johnson's younger brother, who's his caddy. So we have, I think, about 60 or 70% of the PGA Tour and also LIV, which kind of took over all the players, live in South Florida, live in the Palm Beaches. So, you know, you can be at at Starbucks, you know, a few months ago, you know, I'm standing there next to Rory McIlroy, who won the Masters yesterday. So, I mean, so it's a pretty cool place to be.
And of course, because that's because you're in that, you are located, so you're not West Coast. You can get to Europe or Dubai, wherever you need to go, quite easily. I just want to say some of the bits and pieces that are coming. Anyway, as I was saying before, we had the dry stone wall conversation. We were looking at. Now listen, you know, all viewpoints of. We welcome all viewpoints as long as they're not immoral, illegal, or fattening. And if they are, just give me a call and we'll do a WhatsApp group and we'll meet up after the show. So, looking at Spanish properties, this is what Marx would have to say. He said it's. He's long suspected that many investors underestimated the risk potential. It's not without its flaws, bureaucracy, legal complexity, and a market that's not exactly transparent. But at least Spanish property risk is predictable, unlike what's been happening in the States. Also, unlike a US Treasury bond, a home in Spain comes with utility value. You can actually use it, you can enjoy it, you can rent it out. It doesn't, and right now it doesn't come with a political circus attached to it. It hasn't become, Mark thinks that Spain hasn't become a better investment overnight. It's just that it's become much more attractive by comparison with other investments worldwide. So it's not risk-free, but when the world's largest economy starts to look like a riskier bet than a villa in Valencia or a flat in Barcelona or a penthouse in Marbella, seems to be more attractive. And for that, the property sector can thank Donald Trump for putting them in a situation as a huge amount of global money starts to thinking about looking for alternatives. So that was a thoughts of Mark Stockland. Andreas, you're chomping at the bits.
I'm chomping at the bits, yeah. We have, in the real estate industry, we have to separate two things. Because let's not forget that real estate is a basic need for people. You need to live somewhere. The angle that you've given there from that statement that you just read, and the angle that sometimes realtors have is from the investment side of things. So we have to take into account that yes, there is an investment side where people want to put their money on a safe on a safe bet, if you like gold or real estate is foreseen to seem to be a safe place to park your money. And on the other side, you've got the reality that is that you need to buy property because you need somewhere to live. And balancing those two things is what sometimes we get wrong. Right. Because we have to take it. We cannot just focus on the investment side. We have to look at the reality of people needing homes to live with their families and raise their children and take them to school and everything else. So if we sort of focus on the investment side, we are doing something wrong.
9527 8000. I'm going to take a quick break and then we're going to be back with more Viewpoints.
Talk Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on plus 34 645 99 6795. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Well, sorry about that, yes. It's live and lively. And yes, indeed. There we go. We're all getting very, very parched here because we've been talking property. We're doing a special on property. I'm joined in the studio. It's very busy in here this morning by Andres Gallardo. He looks like he's doing yet another deal on his phone. Campbell Ferguson, who's been... We've been debating the dry stone wall effect. What do you put on the roof? I think, you know, is it Woad or something like that?
Well, you can dry stone walls. You've got the slate. The big slate roofs and things like that. So I was up in Galicia last year, and you see dry stone walls up there, buildings built with dry stone walls, and big slate roofs and everything like that. Mark, most of them are falling down at the moment. But
Jason, if you're listening, there's a job for you up there,
Don't start them off again.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
So it's, shall we say, it's a niche, property market. Niche property market.
Yeah. Billy. So, we're just talking about investment and property and why people are getting involved. And Jason is making... at the moment in the States, and I'm not asking you to take on the whole States, but I wouldn't be that cruel on you, you know, especially on your first day of being the new kid in school. People are, you know, Andre's going to steal your lunch money. He'll get you in the car park afterwards.
That's all right. I got thick skin.
You got thick skin. But I mean, how much of, because Andre's is saying that we shouldn't be looking at property solely as an investment. We need to think about the human element in Spain at the moment. We have had this over the past 2 or 3 years. It's been building, and it started off in the islands and Barcelona had the tourist go home situation and all that sort of thing. And we were like, yeah, you know, it's just the Catalans doing what the Catalans do best. Apologies. But we've seen, this year last year on the islands, you know, literally people working in the service sector in popular areas, partly on the islands and again on the costas, being priced out of the market themselves. And that has to be a worry for everybody, not just because if you don't have, it's all very well having the $1 million properties, but if you're people who are gardeners, and I'm not being demeaning, but your gardeners, your maids, people who work in the restaurants, if they can't get for affordable housing, then you got a problem, haven't you? So, your part of the world, Miami.
Sure. So, at the end of the day, it is happening throughout Florida and throughout America that there are amazing demands for real estate for all walks of life, and at the end of the day, people are getting priced out of the market. And it is an issue. Specifically rents have tripled, in Florida, literally. I mean, prices of homes. So you're seeing migrations of people in particular areas in Florida, you know, move maybe more north where, you know, the pricing. So 100% I agree. There are no doubt issues with pricing in America and in rents, you know, and at the end of the day, I mean, I don't have I wasn't born with a silver spoon. I grew up in a two bedroom apartment and I lived in the basement of my apartment with my mother working two jobs. So I don't come from this big mansion and, you know, some silver spoon. So I get it and I understand there is no doubt an issue with pricing, not only in Florida, but around America.
A friend of mine who's just moved over here back from Miami, he was running, he was blowing Blue Marlin out of the harbour there, Blue Marlin Fish and Chips, and he said, he, you know, Marbella is very much like, or this place is very much like Miami, except that you know that the most of the people in the cars aren't armed if you have an argument with them, so it makes it a little bit easier. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Let's go to some of the WhatsApps coming in. Please get involved with your points. Good morning to Mark. Yes, since when not building more land? Ask the Dutch, the Monegasques, or even the Singaporeans. Okay, I mean, that's land. The Gibraltarians, even. Have you been to Gibraltar yet?
Drove past Gibraltar, that's about it. Coming off the ferry.
Right, okay. Right, we'll skate around that one then very quickly. Since when has real estate been a safe haven for investment, says one?
Since the 19th century or before.
I was going to say,
Napoleon set up the land registry.
Honorable basic level, it's looking a bit worrying out there, my lord. I think we should build a castle. I mean, that's the ultimate real estate investment.
Whoever wrote that, you just need to see a graph of prices over the period of 100 years and you'll see why it's a safe haven. You know, it's a product, if you want to call it a product. It's a product that has got constant demand for the reason that I gave before. It's just a basic need, and on top of that, it's a good investment. So constantly people need to put money into real estate for whatever, you know, particular reason they need it, whether to raise a family or to park some money that is doing nothing in the bank. And on the basis of the constant demand, prices go up. Can happen that during a period of time, like we had in 2007-2008, where we had and we were overstocked with property because bank was throwing money at developers to develop and develop, and then there was a lull. But it's we've recovered from that and we're going on that. And if we have another crash, or it will be a temporary thing because demand will come back again, and it's just one of those products. It's a little bit like gold, if you like. When everything gets shaky, people go to gold because it's something tangible, it's something that is there and something that there's constant demand for it. And that's the reason why it's a safe haven for money.
Is it? Are we not a bit worried though that because people we seem to, because we've been here before, like the 2000 and the 2008. Because, you know, basically, any time that I get involved in property, if you see me getting involved in property, get out, because it's going to crash. The year 2000, got involved, crash. In the year 2006, 2007, when my father up in Antequera region, boom. So, but a lot of people, again, are saying that the sort of properties we're building, we know that there are more people wanting to invest in Spain in general, and in this part of the world in particular, because they want to flee uncertainty in other places in the world. Obviously, you only have to look at some of the registration numbers on the cars. You see a lot of Eastern Europeans coming down here. We know the Ukrainians have been here. You know, the Russians were here before that particular problem happened. So, that's only one particular. You see what I'm saying here? We're only building, or we're only supplying for one particular section of the market. I mean, you're looking at multi-million euro, dollar, pound villas. So presumably, your program is going to be looking at something.
So Passport Properties isn't about the lifestyles of the rich and famous. Okay. We are the complete opposite. What this television show is. So for an example, you know, I like to have two wows in this show. The wow. Maybe someday I could get to that point. And then the other wow is just a wow. I could afford that, right? So I think there's two different spectrums of Passport Properties where, I mean, I just looked at a Riyadh that was 500,000 euros, right?
Yeah.
And then we looked at a property that was 14 million euros. So it's a whole span of property values.
The thing with the Riyadh, though, is in Marrakesh, is you must remember that beautiful city, that amazing city, is built on a sewage system that was built 1,000 years ago. So you've been duly warned.
Yes, well, I did take a shower yesterday with a cup of water.
Okay, excellent. See,
the water was working great until day 8.
Yeah. It's all part of the experience.
No, but we don't it's not all big value in Spain.
Yeah.
If I can put it that way. I was looking through our records just in the last, just this year, and we've looked at a property, an apartment in Puente Romano, and it was it's 16,000 per square meter.
Ah, right.
was the price of,
yeah.
Was the price of the apartment. And then we looked at another property in Huelva, which is to the west towards Portugal, and an inland town, and it was an apartment. Okay, it wasn't nearly as nice, obviously, and it was only 589 euros a square meter. So there's a huge range, and this is the problem, that there's so much being built here for the high value properties, so many fancy apartments, so many things being built, and there probably will be demand for them. The only problem is there's nothing being built, even for the people that are building these apartments. They are not going to be able to afford to find, to have somewhere to live. The waiters aren't going to have anywhere to live. All the service people aren't going to have anywhere to live. So you're going to have all these gilded palaces around the place, and people, well, people not here. They're going to be away, and they're going to be having to travel in 2 hours commute or whatever to get a job or so on. Although now with the, I've got a theory that it's going to change slightly, the demand, that at the moment in Spain, there's many towns and villages where the population's going down, going way down.
Yeah.
Spain, however, has invested. It's done a great thing. It's invested a lot in the internet and in a lot in the provision of cabling and so on to even the smallest of places, whatever. So they can have good internet there. So I think you get these small villages, the children go to the local school, then they go to the, out to the big town for the other school, then they go to university or college or the cities for their work. And then they meet somebody, and then they have a family, and they think, this is no, I nearly said it, this is no place to bring up a family. It's just, you can't do that. So they'll go back to their villages, but they can still work for their offices, in their offices and things in the villages, commuting maybe once a week or something like that. But I think that's going to bring more life to the inland towns, and especially if in a small town you can get something for 500, 600 euros a square metre, whereas in the city, it's going to be 6,000 euros a square metre.
I want to come back to that point, because it's really interesting about what you said about rural living and how we do. Yeah, I've just realised I've got to get a couple of breaks in, because we're having such a good conversation that I'm going to... I haven't put my ad breaks in, so bear with me.
Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Yes, indeed. Brought to you in association with St. James Global Private Clients, who have announced their expansion into Spain. Specialists in providing, protecting and preserving global wealth with over 40 years' experience helping clients enjoy their retirement and lifestyle. For expert financial advice for Spanish tax residents and to maximise your retirement income, contact St. James Global Private Clients, info at stjamesglobal.com. St. James Global, protecting your assets and growing your wealth. I'm joined in the studio by Andres Gallardo, Campbell Ferguson, of course, and Billy Nash. And a listener has, I don't know if you can take this in a good or a bad way, because I put a picture on and I share it through various social media groups, you know, friends of, and you know, this is living on the cost or whatever. Somebody said Simon Cowell gets a second job. So that obviously, are you a fan of?
Listen, I take that as a compliment. Right. He's a very handsome dude.
Yeah, depends on your point.
Yes. Right then, Andres, you're going to go on a point.
To the point that Campbell made earlier in terms of how people have to move further away from a nucleus like Marbella or some areas of the Costa del Sol, and they have to go inland to be able to afford the their apartments and living accommodation. You can understand that on the lower end of the scale of paid jobs, that may happen, and as Billy said, it happens all over the world. When I see the problem growing is when you find that nurses and doctors cannot afford to come here because the rents are so high or the property prices are so high that they decide not to come here and go somewhere else. And that's where you realize the scale of the problem. That first happened in Ibiza. I understand, of course, Ibiza is an island, limited amount of land where you can build and so on. It moved to Mallorca. It's happening now in inland Spain. And that's where, we have a problem supplying their services. There, although I would call myself a liberal, and the least intervention from administrations is the best option. In some particular cases, on some particular situations like this one, is where the administration should step up and provide certain, not solutions, because the solution is in the private market, supply and demand, as I said before, but to facilitate things that would help developing property for key sectors, like would be doctors and nurses or other professions like teachers and so on. And that is where the administration can help without intervening the market, which when they intervene the market, there is another problem because they can really make a mess of it, like it's happened in Barcelona when they intervened the maximum rental prices and so on, which is what's happened there is 50% of the stock has disappeared because people don't want to be limited to the amount of rent they can receive.
Yeah, the big problem is that the government has interfered with the market by allowing squatters and people who don't pay rent. They're not being moved out. They're not being treated as criminals. They're not being treated as somebody who's done a break into a building and therefore they should be, they're a criminal on it. They're allowed to stay there. It means there's so many properties that they occupy. There's also a vast number more of properties that lie empty because the owners are just not prepared to take that risk. Because when the squatters go in there, not only does the owner have probably years to be able to get them out, he or she is also responsible for the water, for the electricity, etc., that these squatters are using. It is ridiculous. I know there's people here that I'm aware of, they've got squatters that have been above their own apartment for ages, for years and years. They've been the most terrible neighbours, shoving dog feces and everything down onto terraces and so on and so on. And the latest thing is that they have the water, for one reason or another, actually somebody had the courage to turn the water off to the apartment. So they got a sledgehammer and they broke into, the squatters got the sledgehammer, broke into where the water was, and have now done something to it. There's water flowing out the place. Hydralia, the company that is there that should be sorting things out, they've said, well, we can't really do anything about it. And they can't do anything about it because the squatters have threatened them. And the police sort of step back and say, well, until anything happens, until somebody's killed or whatever, we can't do anything about it. So it's an accident that is building and building and building, and it's going to come to a crisis and somebody will be injured.
Got to go to a break, and that's going to take us out of the first half of Viewpoints.
TRE.
Talk Radio Europe.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
And welcome back to the second part of Viewpoint. A special Viewpoint today. We're looking, talking all things property issues and whatever else you want to throw into the... Well, no, we're keeping it property today because we have with us Andres Gallardo, of course. Andres?
Yes.
Yes, that's you. Yes, it's okay.
Yeah,
then,
that's me.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember. I'd like to throw a couple of questions to Billy, since that we've got him here from Florida.
Yeah.
Very generic.
Please take over my show, don't worry about it.
Yeah, of course. Very generic. Why would anyone from Europe...
I'll just...
Why would anyone from Europe would want to sort of go and buy a property in Florida, for instance? Would it be a good idea for me to go and...
Florida is... we have an amazing climate. The real estate is beautiful. Everybody is, friendly and welcoming. And Florida has always been an attractive place for international buyers. We have a beautiful blue water. We have great restaurants. We have spectacular real estate. It's an international hub. You can get to Florida from anywhere in the world. Miami's an international airport. Fort Lauderdale's an international airport. The Palm Beaches are an international airport. And we have an amazing climate similar to Marbella. Literally from, I would say, right around Halloween to about the middle of May, our climate is spectacular. And then after May, it turns into like Uganda. I mean, yeah. The humidity is about 97%. Yeah. It rains every day from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. So a lot of people leave during the summer months and travel to the Mediterranean. They travel to the Rocky Mountains because it does get super hot and humid during those times of the year. But if you're listening and you're from somewhere, in Spain, Florida's a beautiful place. Well, and it's not all about Mickey Mouse.
My friends went, obviously Spanish friends, went to Miami, of course. And obviously the Hispanic connection there. I mean, Julio Iglesias, Enrique Iglesias had a place there, didn't they? Of course, Julio and Enrique and Ana Kournikova, wasn't it? His
Ana Kournikova.
And of course, Julio's got a place. Julio Iglesias has a massive, hasn't he? He's still got his place in Ojen.
Yeah. There's all the Spanish stars that they have set home there. Alejandro Sanz was there. Others may not be as known for the international public, but certainly Spanish stars that they have moved to Florida for the reasons they just
given. And we have excellent schools. For children and families, for families that are moving to Florida, we have excellent school systems, public and private schools. I grew up in New Jersey, so I wasn't always a Floridian. I grew up in New Jersey. I worked in New York for 22 years. But Florida, I only moved to 10 years ago. And when I first moved to Florida, you think of Miami, you think of Fort Lauderdale, you think of the main hubs. But there's incredible property throughout Florida. And Florida is very different. If you go north to northern Florida, it can be cold. The climate is different. And then when you get all the way down south through the Keys, where one of Hemingway's, stomping ground, it's very tropical. So it's a great state.
And Palm Beach. I mean, Palm Beach, famous for Daytona, because, motor racing, etc. But also polo. I mean, this was in the 50s, the 40s. Correct. And the 50s and the 30s before that. That was where the jet set went for their...
So Wellington is one of the top areas, in America and the world for polo. So we have an amazing polo environment.
It's quite funny. I'm listening to Billy and I'm thinking, because the question was, why would I want to go to Florida to buy a property there? And I'm thinking, you're describing Marbella, aren't you?
Yeah,
you're talking about.
I've got everything here. Why do the flight?
We've got the airport, we've got the polo if you want.
The thing is, gentlemen, that's fine, but, we've got Morocco and they've got the Caribbean. I mean,
correct. I mean, you can jump on a flight. I mean, you can literally be in Bimini, so Florida, where I live in the Palm Beaches, we are the closest to the Gulf Stream on the east coast of America. So our water is extremely, extremely blue and beautiful, just like here in Marbella.
When you refer to the Gulf, what Gulf is that?
On the other side is the Gulf of America.
Yes, indeed.
It's been officially renamed.
If you want to get involved with this morning's show, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And morning to Gary, who says, lovely to have an American cousin on this show. God bless the US. So there you go. Gary is singing your praises there for you today.
Thank you, Garrett. I appreciate it very much.
Right then.
Just a little bit on the Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America. No, I'm just going to talk about geography, Giles. Don't get panicky. It's interesting because the English Channel, if you ask anyone in Spain or France, it's not the English Channel, it's Canal du Manche.
Don't you dare talk about the Malvinas.
So in terms of geographical names, to change the name is not something we are not used to, because we've seen it in Europe as well. So call it whatever you like.
Well, listen, it was officially changed on Google Maps within 24 hours. So I follow Google. Yeah. No politician.
Who needs the British? Well, Google Maps made a big mistake here in that they changed the name of the mosque in Cordoba to the cathedral in Cordoba for a short while. There was such an uproar about that because the mosque obviously was there way before the cathedral. And people, you can see cathedrals with respect to cathedrals. You can see them in many cities. There's only one big mosque like that in the world.
It's an outstanding.
So it was, that was it. But no, we're talking on Costa del Sol. Where does it go? You start really with Sotto Grande. You were talking in Polo. It's the Polo centre of certainly of Europe, I would have thought.
Southern Europe, easily.
And there's the area slightly inland from it as well. So you've got Sotto Grande is the big one. It used to be before. It gets complicated.
But Mickling, wasn't it? Mickling, the Filipino, who was the only Filipino in America on MacArthur's staff in the war, he was the guy who founded Sotto Grande, and he had spent this time previous to the war in Palm Beach.
So there you go.
That's history for you, by the way.
There you go.
Well, that's right.
Listen, polo for me was something new. I mean, I grew up as a little kid sneaking into the racetrack and asking somebody to put $2 on a horse for us, and we would sneak into the racetrack. So polo for me was just like a shirt until I moved to Florida.
Polo for me was a small suite.
Yes, indeed.
In the UK, polo, it didn't feature that much. But anyway, you start there, and then you come further east along the coast, and you get to, I think, Manilva is the next area that you come to. It's a more working area, more agricultural area, but it's an area that's come up.
Yeah.
It's lower-priced properties mostly there, and so that works well. Then you come into Estepona, and it, as a city, is it a city? I don't think it is. Probably not. As a large town, it certainly has improved hugely. I've been here 20-odd years. The difference is astonishing.
So the first time that I went to a polo match, right?
It doesn't have polo.
I'm a kid out of New Jersey. I never had anything, right? So I grew up and I built everything that I have from zero. And the first time I went to a polo match 10 years ago when I moved to Florida, everybody was talking about Patron. And the Patron, so I'm like, wow, they drink a lot of tequila here. So I had no idea. I mean, I'm thinking like, shit, they're all drunks here at the polo match. But I didn't know that the Patron was the boss.
So now I know. The Patron.
And I'm like, oh, cool, and they're drinking a lot of tequila. Yeah.
The thing is, but also, we've been talking about that whole thing with the area coming up, but that New Gold Mile, Estepona to Benavis, which is where you're going up to Zagaleta later on, and also down to the Gold Mine. That's the Golden. We call it the Golden Triangle, Andres. Now this is the area that is showing some of the biggest investment in Spain. It's only places like the district in Madrid that are outperforming, in certain areas of Mallorca. No.
I've lost you there because I was concentrating on the delivery of the coffee there.
Or you just wanted a shot of Patron.
You've got Estepona, and it has come up hugely. To buy a property in Estepona, it used to be relatively simple to get somewhere in the city centre in Estepona. Now the prices are huge. Townhouses there, big money. There's a lot of people still live there, older people still live there. and people that can afford to live there, but it's big money there. Then you come, as Giles was saying, there's Benavís, which is an inland village. It's a relatively small village still, mostly apartments. There's my colleague is selling his house there, so if you're looking for a house in Benavís, there's one available. It's a villa with a swimming pool as well, which there aren't many in the middle. Other houses are available, but you've
why are you not listing it?
Benavís has got two or three different styles, because there's Benavís, and within that municipality there's La Zagaleta, which is the highest value property and maybe the most exclusive property in Spain.
There's a thing here as well, because Benavís, which was like your basic when I came here in 85, otherwise known as Jurassic Marbella, when dinosaurs ruled the earth.
20 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anyway, the Benavís was an artist community. It was known for its people like David Marshall, those sort of people, sculptors, etc. It's an artist community. Now it's reinvented itself as a gastronomic centre. So if you go to Benavís now, you go for the food. It's a focal point of what they do, and they've built on that, and that's the way that we're talking about how inland towns or places can distinguish themselves. So now you see a lot of places are now, you know, olive mills, for example, are becoming, you know, the museums are becoming a big thing, celebrating the heritage of the agricultural life here, as a tourist attraction, get away from the coast, because there's much more. Just a threat to that. By the way, thank you for Don, who sent me through that Google Maps, Google Maps has got Gulf of Mexico and then brackets Gulf of America.
It pleases everyone.
You'll have choice.
Yeah. You have a choice.
Yes, indeed.
Mexerica.
But the other thing is, we're talking about one of the things that we've seen as well in the service industry down here is that certain large hotel groups and certain restaurant groups are now buying apartments, or in some cases buying whole hotels, as the one up on the Istan Road that's been refurbished and that's now working as not only as a accommodation for the workers, and they bust them down, but also they use it as a training center to bring up, because it's got massive kitchens down there. So I mean, that is one way of getting around it. But it is a worry for all urban centres. I mean, say Miami's got Jamie, good morning to you, Captain R. The Miami traffic can sometimes get to sort of that level, he said, putting his hand in the air. So, infrastructure is a big problem, and that's something that has to be addressed. Andres?
What we've seen is there has been a development on the actual needs of people. If you look at the buildings in the 1960s and 70s and part of the 80s here, they were building holiday homes, very basic, for people who would spend only the summer here, and they would have a couple of bedrooms, one bathroom. There was no cupboards, there was no nothing. It was just very simple to just go enjoy the beach, have an apartment there and go. Now, those properties, who are the most basic ones, are the ones who got the best positions, because in those days the land was available close to the sea and everything else. Now we are seeing different needs. People spend longer time on the coast, and they need more from the property, and that's why we're seeing so much refurbishment on prime locations. And when we see new builds, of bigger units with more facilities for people to spend more time and to live here full time or nearly full time, where before we didn't have that. So there is an evolution on what people need and what we are providing for the needs of the people, and that is a constant change in the architectural designs, constant change on the locations, constant change. We build around infrastructure as the infrastructure comes in. So there is a lot of factors that are making the real estate market very mobile, if you like, and very active.
Yeah. There's another thing that is slowing down, the digital nomad style of thing, although not if you're a true digital nomad, it's the visa system, excuse me, that within Europe you're only, if you are not a European, if you're not, you can only be here for 3 months. Then you have to leave for 3 months, and then you can come back again. So that stops. 3 months isn't long enough for a winter. Let's put it that way. It's got to really be 6 months for the winter or something like that. And that's what is going to be stopping a lot of people who are thinking of coming. Well, we'll come and we'll be able to live here for 6 months in the summer and in the winter, and then go back home to the Northern Europe in the summer. But it stops that. So you can get visas. The golden visa, as it was called, has been stopped.
Yeah.
But you've now got, there are other visas, there's other ways of doing it, that you can still have remuneration, especially if you have a job or something in the States. You can come and live here, you get your visa, your digital nomad visa, you get tax benefits, you get all sorts of benefits for being here and living here, but you still have that job in the USA or whatever, outside, well, as long as it's outside Spain.
I'm running into that problem now. Is, you know, I'm just did a work visa application for Italy because I'm selling property now throughout Italy. You know, I'm selling a villa for the Gucci family right now in Rome, which is an amazing property. But I have to apply for a work visa because I'm bumping into that 90 days filming the television show for the next, you know, literally for the next 9 weeks in all these different countries. I need a work visa. So, yeah. You know, or else I'm going to be stuck here, which is not a, which is not a bad thing. Actually, I'd be fine to be stuck in Marbella.
If you extend past the 3 months, you're not allowed back in again.
That's
for,
the whole point.
2 years or something.
I got a hard stop in mid-July, so yeah. I'm marking the calendar. So.
Well, you can always go to the U.S., to the U.K., because it's outside.
Correct. And by the way, I love England, so I have no problems.
There are other parts of England are available, including Scotland, Wales, and Northern. Thank you very much.
We're actually filming in Glasgow and London.
Glasgow.
That's good.
Glasgow.
Sorry. I'm an American. Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
But you've said I butcher that. Trust sorry.
Glasgow's my home.
I love it. Glasgow. I'm going to say it all the time now.
Apologies for that.
You mentioned the Golden Visa, which is finished. Now,
yeah.
But that's an example of when the administrations are a problem rather than a solution, because the Golden Visa. I don't know, Billy, if you were aware, you could if you invested. In property or businesses in Spain, the government will grant you a visa where you could stay, you know, permanently and so on. Anyway,
it just ended, correct?
Because of the prices on the property market, the government, illuminated as they are, says I sarcastically, they thought that the problem came from the Golden Visa, which is completely wrong. So they stopped that, and they have stopped, in a way, it's not a big deal in the big scheme of things, but they have stopped people from maybe the United States and other countries coming to Spain with that benefit.
That was an EU edict. Basically that the EU wanted the golden visas stopped throughout the EU. So Portugal instructed us, Spain was instructed, etc., etc. We want these things closed down.
Illuminated politicians from the EU then, it was, in my opinion, the wrong thing to do, because that hasn't solved the problem where they thought
it would have nothing to do with the lower properties.
We were talking about an investment of minimum half a million, and where the problem is in the 200 mark. That's where the problem is, and the supply on that price bracket.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was the wrong thing to do. Where they can help, for instance, you mentioned earlier the squatters. And the squatters is a problem, of course, for the people who suffer the squattering as such, for those owners. But also the market is suffering because a lot of people are put off by the fact that they fear having squatters, and they avoid putting their houses on the market, limiting the supply of rental properties.
Yeah, that's right. And what they did was they put them on the short-term market, the tourist market, because making a huge amount more money out of that. It's more work, more hassle. People much preferred You rent it to somebody for 5 years or even just for 1 year or something like that, and then you don't have to do anything. But if you're doing it on every 2 weeks or something like that, you've got work, you've got hassle, and therefore your gross is higher, but your net is less. But if
it is more profitable, and again, the legislation is behind on that because it's a new phenomenon as such.
Well, the legislation, sorry, Andrew's interrupting, but the legislation is catching up in a way in that they're stopping all these licenses. They're stopping preventing any more of these being created unless they're in a tourist area. Because once again, on the valuation side, we don't really have evidence, direct evidence of it. But it must be that within urbanisations, developments, estates, whatever you call them in the US, they are, you can have residents who are there, who are working during the day, who are doing all this sort of. What they don't want is a tourist apartment next door with these people living. You know, their day is the other person's night, and you have the noise and things like that. So there's been a lot of protests against tourism apartments, but
we're just now, Campbell, starting to deal with the problem, which we should have much earlier, because all the protests that happened, they started happening 2 years ago, and until very, very recently, in fact, this month is when the new legislation came in. So we are a little bit behind on that. And one of the things that we need to look at on that, and the administrations have to look at, is the capacity, the same way they do with hotel rooms. They should look at the capacity we have with holiday rental properties.
Yeah. This summer, there's going to be tourists wandering around, sleeping on the streets and everything like that, because they've come out here. There isn't anywhere for them to live. They can't afford the hotels, and the hotels are all booked up. So it's going to be a problem, because all these Airbnb places are being taken off. All the ones that didn't have licenses and things like that. And you don't want to rent it out now without a license, because the fines, if you're found out, are draconian. And they will find out. They can find out. They check the electricity. They check the water use. They check your flights. Oh, so you were living there. Yeah, I was living there. But why isn't there a flight with you on it, etc. So it's something that in the short term there's going to be a big problem. I foresee this year and next year that tourism is going to go down because there isn't accommodation for it.
952. If you want to get involved with the show, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And I've had an email in from Barb Eastwood, presumably a relation of Clint Eastwood, I would imagine, a lone gunslinger who's come onto Viewpoint, and says the following. There are many reasons not to move to Florida or even visit. Florida is full of Republicans, many of whom carry guns. They're not very welcoming to gays, lesbians, or non-binary people. The schools are questionable, and so is their geography. We'll be back after this break.
Thank you for listening to Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. If you want to get involved with the show, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
So, joined in the studio by Andres Billy and Campbell. Yeah, Campbell, you're gesturing towards me.
I have on branded property.
Uh-huh.
That as a valuer, we have difficulty with it. That the marketing, the initial marketing and everything like that is great, and it gives a higher value. Do the properties, though, keep that volume the second time round, when maybe the internal things are beginning to fall apart and are not so good, and are you know, do the named people, Lamborghini or whatever it is, renew the
process. So we have not only in South Florida, but it's a trending thing around the world, are branded buildings. And remember, these are branded buildings, so those are not the builders, right? So Cipriani's not there building a tower, but it's the Cipriani Tower with an amazing builder in Miami. The Porsche Tower, right? Porsche didn't build that building, but it's an amazing building in Miami. So you actually pull your car up into the building and it takes your car up into your residence. So I've sold some property in the Porsche Tower. So branded buildings are a thing in South Florida and around the world. But remember, the brand that's behind the building is not building it.
Yeah.
Well,
it's whether they keep their volume.
Yeah, that's
the thing. Obviously, for a specification like that, it'll keep its volume, because that's nothing to do with Porsche. It's just that it is an exceptionally specified building. So that will do the volume. But you get many other villas and things like that, villa developments that have a name like that. And then they sell well, it adds another 10, 20% onto the value of the thing. But does that value hold?
In my experience in Florida, values have appreciated consistently over the last 10 years. I have not sold one property that has went down in value in the last 10 years. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
Because people are buying property from me because they want to buy a lifestyle.
Right.
They want a property that they want to stay in. I don't deal with people that are trying to flip properties. Those are the people that get burned. When I'm working with a family that want a specific property and need, I'm matching their lifestyle to a particular community, to a particular property. So they're there for the long term.
You see, this is the thing, isn't it? Because we talk about relationships and business, and it's very, very easy to say, because, you know, when they say the three things that people hate, I mean, it's journalists, real estate dealers, and lawyers, basically, the three things. But we were talking off air about the whole thing, how the market is perceived. And you talked about, and if you speak to a good real estate agent, they will talk about, they have been working in Marbella or working in Miami for decades because they have built up a relationship with clients, and in some cases, second generation, third generation. It is that sort of business. And it's all about, you don't say, look at this house, it's wonderful because it's got a pool. And so you have to take the holistic view and go, you're buying into it, as you said.
So that's why I created Passport Properties. This is a show that isn't about the lifestyles of the rich and famous. Look what I have and you don't, right? What I did when I created this show, which we're now in production and filming all over the Europe, is show, you know, not only properties in different values, but what's outside of the walls, the community, the history, the artisan, the forgotten artisan. You know, so I'll give you an example. We just filmed an episode in Firenze, in Florence. So I was able to showcase the property that Mona Lisa lived in, where Leonardo da Vinci walked the driveway. And he said, you know what? He was hired to paint the famous painting. I mean, that to me is something that's incredibly interesting that people aren't seeing on television, right? So when I was in Marrakesh, when you walk into a property anywhere in the world and you see a Berber rug, right? You say, wow, that's a nice rug. But you don't realize there's a woman that's up in a Berber village in the Atlas Mountains that may have taken 2 years to make that rug. So that lost artisan is what I am showcasing around the world and, you know, around Europe. So, you know, let's give an example. Marbella has an incredible history. There's incredible artists here, you know, that have come here for years, right? So those are the things that I think are very interesting. Not a lot of people know what Rhonda is, right? So when I go up to Rhonda in a few days and chat with the locals that have lived there for years, you know, who would have known that Ernest Hemingway wrote one of his best novels in Rhonda, Spain, right? So those are the kind of things that Passport Properties will showcase not only in Europe, but around the world.
Because here's the thing as well, because if you look at some of the current styles of architecture and everything else, you can argue that we're heading down a situation at the moment where you could look at a new build in Miami, you could look at the new build in Dubai, you could look at a new build in Marbella. And if they're all the same sort of look, we're going to become increasingly bland and get increasingly bored. However, if you can pick out something like a Berber rug,
made for over 2 years. There are subtle differences, and that's surely what we should be celebrating, isn't it?
I agree. I mean, so that's why, you know, when you look at some of these reality television shows, they're scripted, they're fake, they're people arguing, they're purple Lamborghinis. That's not what this show is about, right? I'm trying to showcase the people that are forgotten, what's outside of the walls of the property. So yes, the properties are spectacular, but what about the artisan that made that lamp? You know, what about that architect or that designer that's forgotten, right? So this is not about drama. My television show is not about drama. It's not about us fighting over a commission standing around a pool. There was a show that was just done in Marbella, right? And I showed more Marbella in my 3-minute sizzle reel that Marbella was shown for maybe 30 seconds that we filmed last year than that entire 7 episodes of that television show. I mean, I watched a bunch of 23-year-olds fighting around the pool. Well, that's not Marbella to me.
We know we can find on the radio, don't we, Andreas? Let's face it.
I mean, I'm listening to Billy. It reminded me of a famous Spanish writer, Francisco Umbral, who went on television, and they asked him about some politics or something, and he turned around to the journalist and said, "I came here to talk about my book." And his Billy says, "I came here to talk about my television show." Love it.
Well, I think everyone's going to love the show. At the end of the day, it's not about, you know, this is, it's not a show about commission and money and lifestyles of the rich and famous. It's about showing, profiling a city or a town that should be profiled in the right way and not the wrong way.
But also, of course, you're looking at, because I mean, a lot of people will come, especially from America, they will come over and they'll go, right, Europe, we'll do London, we'll do Edinburgh or Glasgow, and we'll do Paris, because hey, you know, there's always been, because it was the Washington Post, and they used to have, International Herald Tribune was based out of Paris back in the day. And also you'll do Italy because of the great connections between the Americans and Ireland as well. But somewhere like regions like Spain, Portugal, Marrakesh will not register on many of the your audience back in the States.
So we're traveling, you know, when we leave Marbella, we're going to go to Portugal, and we're going to film in Sintra and film in Lisbon and film in some locations that are off the beaten path. Then we go to France, and we're in a town where Picasso spent time. And there's actually a property that we're going to see that where Picasso painted on the side of the wall of the house. Picasso, that to me is interesting. No, I get it. No, I thought he was Italian.
Just, you were talking,
of course he's Spanish.
Great singer, by the way.
I thought he was from Florence.
Just wanted to make a point.
No, of course. Yeah. My point is, these are things that we will showcase on this show that you won't see in the typical reality real estate show.
Yeah.
952-78-4000. Going to take a break, and then we're going to be back for the last 14 minutes or so of this morning's Viewpoint.
Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
We're into the last, believe it or not, 12 minutes of this morning's Viewpoint. It's property special. I'm joined by Andreas Gallardo, Billy Nash, and Campbell. I know it's you, Campbell. I was just giving a bit of a build up there. If you want to get your viewpoint across, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And yes, indeed. Now then, you see, you mentioned Florida, and people get very upset about Florida, because not only did we have one a minute ago saying, you know, Florida's full of guns, Republicans, and whatever else, and they don't know geography, but one here saying, I will keep it. This is from somewhere in Mallorca. Please don't bring anything from Florida. Europe is fine as it is. So there you go. So would you like to say something on behalf? I can't, by the way, this is live. There's no delay, Billy. So please, before we go.
Well, obviously that comment comes from someone that probably has never been to Florida before. So if you decide to visit, it's a wonderful place, and we welcome you with open arms.
Because the thing about a city like that, like someone like Florida, is like people go to London and go to Leicester Square and go, didn't like it. Or they go to Edinburgh and go, you do the mile. Or they go to, you know, they go to Sucky Hall Street or something. And they, you know, they say, okay, when they didn't like it, you don't know the true meat until you've been of a place, the true character of a place until you've been around.
Andres, that's a very short-sighted comment to say it's full of Republicans. Sorry. Don't go there. It's like someone saying, don't come to Spain because it's full of socialists, you know? I mean, it's a silly...
Foreigners.
Full of foreigners. Yeah, that's another one. I'm sure Florida's got very good things, and you can criticise some of the things.
Tell you what, Florida has got Cuban coffee.
Yeah.
Well, Florida has, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, Florida has nationality all from all over the world. I mean, residents from all over the world, whether it's from, you know, Asia, South America, you know, Spain, you name it. I mean, we have all walks of life in Florida, and everybody gets along in Florida.
Not only Florida, but other places. Did you know that Mobile in Alabama is twinned with Marbella? Mm. Yes, it is. I've been to Mobile. Alabama, and I've got a picture next to the bench marking the occasion.
There's
of
a
the
bench.
Twinning. So, there's a bench with a mark twinning in Marbella and Mobile.
Well, that's one place I've never been to is Alabama.
Yeah.
I'll pass on Alabama. I love Alabamians, but Alabamians.
But Mobile being twinned with Marbella is something.
I don't even know if that's a word, Alabamians.
It is now. It's not the Albanians, it's the Alabama.
Thanks for that setup.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be wanted now in Alabama.
So we are twinned with Mobile in Alabama. So there you are. Yeah. That's a fact. I'll show you the picture after the show.
I'm sure, but I mean, you know, that's the deep south. Unless somebody in the town hall was a massive fan of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
To be honest, there's a history behind why they're twinned, which I completely forgot, seeing that I don't use my memory so much because of Google. I forgot, but you can Google the story. Mobile twinning Marbella and Malaga.
This will probably be from the tourist department of Marbella chastising us. So we go live.
There's somebody from Alabama.
It'll be somebody from Alabama.
love Alabama.
If you can hear the sound of banjos, Malaga. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, good morning. It's James from Meehouse.
Morning, James.
From Florida. Good morning. How are you, my friend?
Very well, thank you.
I am from Florida. I've had a place there for 25 years. I still have one there. I have a villa in Spain. And the problem I have in Spain, I can't get the people out. And I want to know if the law is going to change.
What do you mean? You've got ocupas, as we say.
Ocupados, as you call. And I've tried for 2 years to get them out. And the police won't do anything about it. And I do agree with your friend there. If you rent out now in Spain... Even if you give an 11-month contract, they just pay for maybe 1 month or 2 months, then you can't get them out.
I have to agree
with you.
I'm just going to try and find out. Can I just ask him? Sorry, James. How did these people break in, or were they renting and refused to leave?
No. I went to an agent. I went to a proper agent here in my house. I did an 11-month contract. Which I did before because I go to Florida in the winter normally. And we did an 11-month contract. They paid the first 2 months and then they didn't pay any more.
Right.
And then I had to go to court.
And you can't,
I can't get them out.
You can't get them out. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's a disgrace, you know. I mean, it's absolutely terrible. In any case, you were ill advised of on the 11-month contract anyway, but that's beside the point. The people, when you rent a property, you have to pay the rent. That is the contract, that is the deal. And if they don't pay the rent, it should be thrown out. And that is one of the things that makes Spain... I'm ashamed of that situation.
In all the rules we have, the one that is most screwed towards the thing you were thinking...
One thing I can guarantee you... One thing I can guarantee...
I did everything right, you see. Yes. I did everything right, 11-month contract, because if they go over 11 months, it's 5 years before you can get them out. But that's not true. Even if you give an 11-month contract and they don't pay, you still can't get them out.
One thing I can guarantee you is that if you buy a property in Florida, it's your house and no one's squatting.
Listen, I have a property in Florida for 25 years. I've had an apartment in West Palm Beach. I've never had a problem getting anybody out. Never, ever, ever. The Florida law is totally different from here. In Florida, you can do it. You get a good lawyer, you get them out. You're no problem. In Spain, I'm sorry, guys. I love Spain. Been here all my life here. But you can't get them out even if you do it right. That's what I'm saying.
It's crazy. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I'm Spanish, and I apologize to you on behalf of the nation. If
good grief.
Absolutely. But I totally agree. I mean, it's one of the things that we should be fighting on constantly. Not because the damage to this gentleman on the phone just now is terrible. Yeah. But it's damaging the whole of the market. So you're not the only one who's
It's
damaging the whole of the market. So something needs to be done done very, very quickly.
I always think
if you get more people and you get the legal things right here in Spain, I'm telling you, people from America and Europe will come here and will buy. They've got the money. But you've got to get the legal things right, or people won't.
This absolutely.
Now, there's 100% tax on people who are not in the union. What's that all about?
Well, that's the subject probably for another show.
Thank
you for your call, and I hope your issue gets resolved. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Take care, James. I could have you with. It is quite a thing. It seems to be that whole thing with the occupiers, the squatters law. It's been as if the people who are squatting are people who've got no other options, and they're destitute.
There are certain states in America that is happening, but not in Florida.
Yeah, Campbell.
Yeah. The root problem is that there's not enough cheaper accommodation available. So there's two types of occupiers. There's the ones who make a business out of it and just go in there. They don't intend. There's the others, that the families that for one reason or another can't pay the rent, or they don't have somewhere to live. They're living in their cars, so they break into an empty property which they've seen lying empty for a year, and they break into that. So there's the two types. If there was cheaper property available, these people would be able to go there, and that's what it's all about. You've got to build the cheaper properties.
Let me explain what that comes from. And there is a section of the government in Spain which are to the left of the Socialist Party. If you can't get any more left than that, when they legislated, they decided that you couldn't throw out vulnerable families from their home with children and so on, which most people would agree with that. You know, if you are, you know, you've got children, you lost your job and things have gone wrong for you, and you genuinely need the help, the institutions, whether it's the local council or the regional government, should step in and help them out. You cannot expect a private owner of a property to suffer because, you know, someone has gone, you know, through bad times. So that's where the welfare state should step in. And there are not so many cases like that. The majority are people who sign a contract, move in, don't pay the rent, and they're for free because they know they're going to take years to get them out. And others take over a house and that's that.
Yeah. If you do that in a hotel, it's illegal, and the courts come against you and everything like that, and you can get thrown out the hotel. There isn't anywhere else for them to go.
You're going to make a quick. Okay, I'm just going to go through a few bits before, because we've only got 2 and a bit minutes left, believe it or not. So, a few bits coming in again on Florida. So here we go. So brace yourself, Billy.
Let's bring it on.
So here we go. So having passed through, this is the person who said we don't need to don't bring anything from Florida. Europe is fine as it is, because they say we have passed through years ago and they gave me hell at immigration. Well,
meanwhile.
We went to Florida back in 1995 and enjoyed it. The only complaint was there's too much chlorine in the swimming pools.
I love it. Is that the chicken or in the swimming pools?
Yes, it's the chicken to do the breast.
The chicken or swimming in the pools.
And finally on this one, okay, courtesy from Chrome AI, and this is from Paul, who's actually in the Maldives at the moment. He sent a picture, and blimey. Anyway, courtesy from Chrome AI, people from Alabama are generally called
Alabamians.
I was right. I was right. See, I took a shot at that one. I was right. Exactly. My instincts was right.
Other common nicknames include Alabama and Bama or Bama. So there you go. So now we have cleared that one out of the way. And I think that's... Oh, just spoke about... Hello. People wonder why landlords ask for six... this is Cookie. Thank you, Cookie. People wonder why landlords ask for 6 to 12 months rent up front. It's to avoid issues. Your caller from Mijas just spoke about it. Thank you, Cookie, for that final point. Right then, almost out of time. It has been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you this special property version of Viewpoint. Of course, Andres, thank you for your participation.
Thank you very much. No time to speak about Katy Perry in space.
At all. Exactly.
Oh, no.
Campbell Ferguson, as always. Thank you so much, because you bring a gravitas to the show. I think it's been sorely missing from the rest of us.
Thank you very much, Charles. Yeah, no, it's a pleasure always, especially with Andrews, to be able to bounce things back and forward.
Indeed.
And our colonial cousin here as well.
And acting as the net between this bouncing back and forth tennis match has been Billy. Now, just one more plug for your show. Where can they find you, etc.?
Sure, Nash.Billy on Instagram. You can follow behind the scenes of all the countries we'll be in for the next 10 weeks filming, and I can't wait to share it with the world.
Wonderful. Well, listen, thank you so much for all your comments in for this morning's Viewpoint. Just to let you know, a quick heads up, there's no Stephen Ritson due to a couple of difficulties. He won't be with us from 12 until 2 o'clock. So we're going to be doing another repeat of the remix, some of the finest interviews from the past 7 days. Following Stephen, or following what's in chase for Stephen, will be Selena McKenzie with the Lifestyle Show from 2 until 4. From 4 until 6, is the lovely Hannah Murray with TRE in the afternoon. 6 and 7 is Howard Brighton, and this show will be repeated at 7 o'clock. Thanks very much for the calls in. I'll see you tomorrow with Let's Talk. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.
Expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.